Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
I want to ask you about the chamber for entrepreneurs. What is the onboarding process? Like, let's say, okay, I'm an entrepreneur, because the point of the Chamber of Commerce is it's a networking organization, right? Like, you get to go to meetings and you get to meet other people in different areas. So let's say I'm in banking, right? I get to meet somebody who's in insurance. I get to meet somebody who's in investing. I get to meet. So now me as a financial, that's why I used to go. Cause as a financial advisor, these chamber, they like, I had like, it was like local chambers, and they have meetings. And they only let like one person in per industry at that meeting at the, like the local chamber level. So it'd be like one insurance guy, one investing guy, one CPA. And then you all kind of network with each other. Okay, I give you clients, you give me clients, opportunities and stuff like that. So what's the onboarding process for entrepreneurs to get into a chamber commerce, and what's best practices for them to get the best results out of the chamber?
Yeah, I mean, you raise a good point. I mean, I think there's a value if you're a local business to being connected to that local chamber. These are all three different levels of membership and engagement. Same with the state chamber. I mean, if you're really trying to do business statewide in a given state, I would suggest you really should be involved in the state chamber of commerce where you live. But if you really want to do business, you know, think of us again as the national organization that's engaging corporations that's engaging opportunities abroad across the world, then the U.S. Chamber is a place that you should think about membership. And you can go to each of these. I mean, go to uschamber.com, and I think there's a link there that can direct you to one of our membership officers. And, you know, and it's based on what your interests are. They'll talk with you. You know, are you interested in tech? Are you interested in exporting? Are you interested in cyber? You know, they'll talk with you about your revenue and your growth strategy and trying to make sure that your experience as a member is rewarding and beneficial for you as a member company. But again, I just can't emphasize the value of the ability to meet individuals, to meet companies, to meet global leaders. You know, I'll give you an example of a brother whose name you will recognize, Isaiah Thomas, who's a very dear friend. I'm talking about the old Isaiah.
The younger one or the older one?
The older one.
You're talking about Zeke.
Okay.
Come on, Zeke.
Yeah, but Zeke, man, you know, people don't know about Zeke. I only use this as an example, but, you know, he has everything from Sherilyn Champagne. He's in real estate, but he's also doing business, a lot of business in the country of Colombia. And so I brought him in. He's a member of the chamber. He's a member of the International Vision. He's now had a pleasure to meet with the president of Colombia and get to know all of those government officials and other private sector partners who are good for his business in Colombia. And so I get my point in saying that, and there are others, but I only use him as an example, is you have to think about what you want from these organizations. And there are more organizations that you can be have a membership in. But I think you need to think about what you want in return and the value of a membership and being in the chamber to help you reach your business goals.
And I just want just real quick, because I just want to hammer this point down, because so as a business owner, you're up against a lot to be successful. As a Black business owner, you're up against even more to be successful. Right. So we talk about networking and relationships and stuff like that a lot. But people don't like, what does that mean? How do I build relationships? How do I get in front of the right people? So this is something that, you know, this is like you said, there's other organizations, but the Chamber of Commerce is one organization as a business owner that you can actually join. And now you can actually go to different events. And like you said, you get what you put into it. Right. So if you join and you're just a ghost member, you never do anything, then you're not going to get anything out of it. But if you're active and maybe you work your way up the ranks, right, and you meet this person, meet that person, you have to put yourself in positions to win. So this is something that's extremely beneficial for entrepreneurs to build their network and to meet people and to cultivate relationships, because ultimately that's going to get you into the next door. So I just wanted to kind of hammer that point home for people that might not fully understand the importance of it. That's the reason why an organization like the Chamber of Commerce is important, and why you as a business owner should be looking at any type of organization that you can to be active, to add value, to meet people, to, you know, be a treasurer, whatever you can be to kind of move up the ranks, because ultimately that's only going to end up helping you.
That was a message.
Really quick. I know we talk all the time about giving value, but for all of you, like if they were to join Chamber of Commerce this month, like what are some things they can do to actually be valuable to the members and the organization there? Because I think we hear it as a buzz phrase, but I don't know if many people have a framework to actually be helpful or valuable. What would you do if you were starting a new business and you joined? What would be like the first three things you would try to do to give the most value to the members there?
You mean to give a value to the business, the new member who's joining the chamber, or for them to give value to the U.S. Chamber? Because those are two different questions.
No, to give value to the chamber. Because I think you have to give first in order to be able to receive.
That's right. Listen, brother, one of the things that, in terms of giving value to the chamber, that we have to be smart and do more of, is show up in these policy conversations. I mean, I testify on Capitol Hill all the time. And in fact, I'm there this week meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus. And we don't have enough of us who are showing up on the policy side of this work. Again, I would argue because, you know, oftentimes, you know, I'm looking for us to show up and trying to beg folks to come in and meet with the White House on some of these regulatory policies, on tax issues and things that shape how successful we are or not, on international trade agreements. Again, I don't know that we've been exposed to that, but we need more of us to show up in these rooms that literally, I watch it. I mean, I've done a lot. This has been my career. These rooms, whether it's on Capitol Hill or in your state legislatures, in committees, this is where you can be made or you can be broken, because this is where the policy is made. The regulations are advanced and promulgated that shape business success in America. And so we need more people to show up. That's how you can contribute in helping the chamber, and certainly the work that I do is being a part of that dialogue, taking time to understand the issues that affect your company on the political, the policy side, and also how that extends into the politics, because our vote matters when we can align our vote with our economic challenges and our economic opportunities. I don't know that we ask our candidates and elected officials the right questions. And so even on the political side, which, you know, again, I come from as well, you know, we got to really advance an agenda and be a part of an agenda that supports the growth of Black businesses and our economic opportunity and closing this wealth gap. So we got to show up.
So I just want to stay right there for the regulation and policies, because, I mean, being a part of the commerce, the future of work is changing, right? And so if we look at the landscape, I wonder how you guys view it, or how you're addressing the changes that are coming from technology. Are you viewing it as an opportunity, or is it more of a detriment to say, like, we need to be careful and need to have security around the future of work in regards to AI, generative AI, automation? How is the commerce seeing this?
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, AI and technology and in terms of the future work is an extremely important issue to the private sector generally. And it's viewed more of an asset than a liability. But I think for African-Americans in particular, and, you know, and the research has proven, we have to be really concerned about the impact of AI and technology in displacing workers. What does that mean? That means we got to think about, do we have the skills to compete for these technology driven jobs of the future? And that means rethinking even the curriculums from K through 12 to HBCUs and preparing our young workforce for these jobs that are going to be at a minimum automated or technology types of jobs. I don't know what won't be driven by technology. And one of the areas that I'm focused on that as you think about this, you know, the millions of people without jobs and millions of jobs without people, is second chance hiring. I'm doing a lot around that. How do we get those who've been formerly incarcerated back into our workforce? So that's a big priority within my department at the chamber, whether it's the policies or getting more companies to make commitments to give people a second or a third or a fourth chance in this case. I mean, just because you had a conviction and a minor crime ought not prevent you from getting the job, especially in a time when, again, there are millions of jobs without people and millions of people without jobs. So workforce is just a big issue, but the technology piece is front and center. And we have to be a part of that in terms of making sure we have the skills to be able to compete for those jobs.